So, good morning. Welcome to the Wrath, House of Wrath. I'm going to start, one of these days I'm going to start my own. We have a little grapevine out there. We're going to start making wine. We're going to call it the Grapes of Wrath.
There you go.
It's been a morning of really bad jokes.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've been telling bad jokes. So anyway, enough corny jokes. This morning I want to teach on complexity and contradiction in Christianity.
Oh, yeah. Complex.
Say that again.
Complexity and contradiction in Christianity. I just love the way that rolls off the tongue. Plus, it's an alliteration: C, C, and C. And actually, I stole the title a little bit because there's a book that I studied when I went to college for architecture called Complexity and Contradiction in Architecture, and this has nothing to do with that. But I have a recurring theme that I like to teach a lot, how truth is simple. So let's take your Bibles and go to Luke chapter 11, and along about verse 45. Luke chapter 11. So in verse 45, then answered one of the lawyers. Now, lawyers in the Bible is different than the lawyers we have now. Neither of them are usually too good. I guess some lawyers are good, but lawyers in our culture have a bad reputation. Well, in this culture, they were people that studied the Old Testament law. And for the most part, they used the Old Testament law to beat people up and not to help people. So then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying thou reproachest us also. And actually, I want to, instead of reading that in King James, I want to read this in the Message. Because you don't really get what he's saying there, reproach. That's just a word we don't use in modern English anymore. Reproach. What the heck is reproach? So I'm finding the right page here. Almost there.
I got it.
Chapter 11, verse 45. One of the religion scholars spoke up, Teacher, do you realize in these sayings you're insulting us? See, that really, sometimes the Message really opens up your understanding on certain things, and sometimes it's very inaccurate, but sometimes they really nail it. So the lawyers, the religious guy was saying the truth was insulting to him, and because they were teaching things that were, Jesus Christ had come in and teach the simple truth, and it would contradict all these things they had worried about with the law. Because in the Old Testament or in the Gospels, they were all like, well, if a hen lays an egg on the Sabbath day, can you eat it? Because the hen had to work to lay the egg, and so would it be a sin if we ate that egg? I mean, it's like, how stupid can you get? But that's what these people spent their day thinking about, was stupid junk like this. And he said, this is Jesus, yes, and I can be even more explicit. You're hopeless, you religion scholars. You load people down with rules and regulations, nearly breaking their backs, but never lift a finger to help. And see, that's what religion does. They make this complex and contradictory system that nobody can follow. No matter, and the harder you try, the more you mess up. Verse 47, you're hopeless. You build tombs for the prophets your ancestors killed. The tombs you build are monuments to your murdering ancestors, more than to the murdered prophets. That accounts for God's wisdom, saying, I will send them prophets and apostles, but they'll kill them and they'll run them off. What it means to every drop of righteous blood ever spilled from the time of earth began until now, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who was struck down between the altar and the sanctuary is on your heads. He's basically, he went from insulting them to calling them murderers. Yes, it's the bill of this generation, and this generation will pay. You're hopeless, you religion scholars. You took the key of knowledge, but instead of unlocking doors, you locked them. See, they have the word. Instead of using it to help people, they use it to hurt people. You don't go in yourself, and you don't let anyone else in either. That's just an amazing translation of Luke chapter 11.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. So let's go to Isaiah. I'm going to go back to King James now. Let's go to Isaiah. It's the patriotic book of the Bible. Isaiah, can you see?
chapter?
35.
Towards the center.
And the next one we're going to go to will be Jeremiah, which is right after Isaiah. So Isaiah chapter 35. And here God's words talking about the truth. And then highway there shall be there.
What verse are you in?
Chapter 35, verse 8.
Oh, okay.
And an highway shall be there, a way that shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over, but it shall be for those wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. So the word, you know, that King James is kind of clunky translated there. It's kind of like Yoda English, you know. A road there is over there. You know, it's like, you know, Yoda, the Force with him is, you know. You know, but it, what it's saying in simple English is the truth is so simple that even a fool need not err therein. Now, we think of fools as like the Three Stooges, you know. But no, biblically, a fool is somebody that lacks wisdom. So you don't need the truth of God's word is simple enough that you don't have to be a scholar to understand it. The truths, I mean, all the basic powerful truths of the word are always simple, like God is love. You don't need a PhD to understand that God is love. Christ died for your sins. That's real simple. You know, his body was broken so we could have healing. That's real simple. We have nine manifestations. That's real simple. You know, religion will try and make it complex. They'll try and say, well, you get one, he gets two, and you got zero, and I got three, and she gets four. And no, we all get nine. It's real simple. The word of God, things of God's word are simple. Let's go to Jeremiah.
Chapter
23. So what does God think of all those guys that are laying stuff on his people? Well, in chapter 23, verse 1, he says, woe be unto you pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pastors. Pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock, ye have driven them away, you have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. Let's see, I'm not sure how far. But basically what it's basically God is upset with the religious leaders, because throughout history, even today, I mean, a lot of religious leaders, they don't talk for the one true God. In the Old Testament, they didn't. In the Gospels, they didn't. And a lot of the ones in the New Testament didn't. It's just, The history of the world is a history of men trying to lead other men astray with a complex and contradictory religion that does nobody any good, but except the guys teaching it might get rich. You know, they can make a lot of money teaching their baloney. But it says here that he'll raise up, what's the verse? Yeah, verse 3, I'll just read 3 and 4. And I will gather the remnant of my flock. And you see, there's, the devil's always trying to mess stuff up and scatter people and get them to believe lies, but there's always a remnant. And the remnant is the people that, they're not buying it. You know, the guy comes door to door selling you a new contraption that's no good. Mm-hmm. He said, I ain't buying that stuff. I don't think it works. And there's always a handful of people that will stick with the simplicity of God's word. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries whither I have driven them, and I will bring them again to their folds, that they may be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them. So what he does is he brings new pastors. And when the old ones don't do their job, God will bring new ones, raise new people up. And there's a great prophecy in verse 5 of the coming of Jesus Christ and so forth. But I'm not going there. Let's go to Matthew. Verse 24. For there shall rise false Christs, false prophets, and shall so show great signs and wonders, insomuch, if it were possible, that they shall deceive the very elect. So the devil's always got some sort of deception going on out there. And let's go to Timothy, chapter 2 Timothy. Chapter 4, verse 3. Yep. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. You know, fables is something that's not true. And see, that there's some people that the simple truth's not enough for them. Oh, but surely God is a Trinity. You know, it can't be so simple that there's one God who had a son. It can't be that simple. It's got to be complex and confusing. You know, it's like what the Roman Catholics say, that the Trinity is a great mystery because nobody can understand it. I mean, because nobody can explain it. And like we were talking about earlier, you know, if you want to really ask a Trinitarian, want to really watch them wet their pants, ask them to explain what the Holy Spirit is. I mean, that makes no sense. It makes, you know, God the Son makes no sense, but the Holy Spirit put in their Trinity makes no even less sense. So I got one more scripture, 1 Corinthians. Chapter 8, verse 1. And he's writing to Corinth, and what happened is the Corinthian believers had grown up and lived in a culture where they did not know of the one true God. All they had was idols. So he's talking to them, he says, now is touching things offered to idols, and what they would do is quite often they would have a meal and they would offer part of it to the idol, and then they would their false god would bless it, and then they would eat. And he says, touch, you know that you have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And so basically they knew that those idols weren't real gods, they were false gods. But see, a lot of times people were always worried about getting more and more knowledge. Did you know that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that's all in the dative case and not in the genitive case? And the Greek word there was actually the same Greek word used in the Pig Latin text, which Mo, Larry, and Curly unveiled 25 years ago. And it's great to have knowledge, but most of God's word, like I keep saying, is simple and easy to understand. And there's a verse somewhere that says it's easily entreated, isn't there? Anybody know where that one is? I just thought of it just now.
I think it's in Timothy.
Yeah, probably.
The wisdom of God.
Yeah, it's easy. Yeah.
Peaceful, fruitful, and easy to entreat, or something like that.
Yeah. And God's word is simple. And again, if you run into something and it's overly complex and it's very contradictory, chances are it's probably not true. You know, occasionally we have to do biblical research because people have so bought into this religion where it's like all these strange things, you know, like people believe in purgatory. Well, purgatory is not even in the Bible. There's nothing about purgatory. And, you know, where do they come up with this stuff? Were they on drugs or something? I don't know.
I think it's a Western town.
Purgatory? Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
It's what?
I like Paradise, where they got the grab boys.
Yeah, it's a Western movie, wasn't it?
Yeah. But anyway. So that's what I wanted to share today. You know, the word's simple, and it's not complex, and it's not contradictory. Why don't you have a prayer for the meal, Diane?
Okay. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you for providing so richly for us. Bless the food we're about to eat. And bless every individual here, Father, that they get all their needs supplied richly by you in ways they can't even imagine. So we love you dearly, and we thank you for continuing to fellowship with us in Christ's name. Amen.